Good afternoon.
Amen.
Once again, happy Sabbath to everyone. What a beautiful Sabbath day this is. I can report once again the Georgia heat is back, at least for a little while. This is a wonderful hall we now have, obviously well insulated, very beautiful. I'm very grateful for it. If you would please, we'll begin today with a short story given to me by a dear friend. A female CNN journalist heard about a very old Jewish man living in Jerusalem who had been going to the Western Wall to pray twice a day, every day, for a long, long time. So she went herself to the old city to check it out. She went to the Western Wall, and there he was, walking slowly up to the wall, the site so revered as holy by the Jews. She watched him pray, and after about 45 minutes, when he turned to leave, using a cane, moving very slowly, she approached him for a short interview. "Pardon me, sir. I'm Rebecca so-and-so from CNN. What's your name?" And he told her. "Sir," she said, "how long have you been coming to the Western Wall and praying?" "For about 60 years, he replied. 60 years, she exclaimed. "That's amazing. What do you pray for?" "I pray for peace between the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims. I pray for all the wars and the anger and the hatred to stop. I pray for all of our children to grow up safely as responsible adults and to love their fellow man. I pray that politicians tell us the truth and put the interests of the people ahead of their own." And she asked, "How do you feel after this 60 years? And he replied with a tone of finality, "Like I'm talking to a wall." Although for some of us this story may have a slight touch of humor and perhaps a smack of irony, this wall was and is a very real thing for this old gentleman. As you may have guessed already, the title for today is The Wall. How challenging it would be to faithfully strive to keep God's commandments, live out the life specified in the Holy Scriptures, and dutifully pray at this wall, in this case for well over half a century, and not receive an answer. At the same time, there is a similar wall or separation that God's people contend with from time to time, and it seems as if we are, this wall, pardon me, from time to time, although this wall cannot be seen, like the wall in Jerusalem, it's nonetheless very real and also very frustrating. There are times when we go to God, perhaps at the most needful times as far as we are concerned, and it seems as if we're just not getting through. Perhaps, as has been said, our prayers can bounce off the ceiling. We'll have a brief look at 2 points today. First, what is this wall, this invisible separation from God from time to time? And more importantly, how is it removed? The first thing we must remind ourselves of is that we serve a God who is perfect, matchless in power and purpose, perfect in righteousness, perfect in character, perfect in judgment, perfect in mind, and perfect in purpose and motive. When God does something, even painful from our experience, it ultimately serves as good, even if we don't see it at the time. The next reminder is that God has no tolerance for sin and absolutely will not compromise with it at any level. If you would, please, turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, this is a scripture familiar to us all. Here we find God speaking specifically concerning ancient Israel and their ways. But even so, the principle at the heart of the message certainly applies to us today. Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, or sins, have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Not that he cannot hear, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. We find here in principle that sin will separate, create a wall between a person and God, causing a hindrance to prayer, perhaps even causing a person not to be heard or recognized at all. An individual may not be guilty of all the things listed here by Isaiah. But what we should take from this is that sin and a sinful nature is the first place to look if we experience a distance between God and us. But there is yet another cause for this wall at times that does not necessarily involve a sinful nature. And that is a specific test of faith and character of the individual by God himself. If you would please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. We find here King Hezekiah of Judah, who was apparently a good king, who enjoyed a close relationship with God. These scriptures record that Hezekiah was prosperous and successful in everything he embarked upon. Even so, we find that God withdrew himself from Hezekiah. But why? This was at the time where Hezekiah received visitors from Babylon. We are in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, beginning in verse 31. However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him. But why? In order to test him. That he might know all, that is, know all that was in his heart. Hezekiah definitely had things to overcome, as do we all. The nation of Judah ultimately paid a bitter price for his shortcomings. But the stated purpose for this withdrawal of God's presence from Hezekiah was a test, a method God does and can use to know the depths of a person's mind and character. God wanted the very same thing from Hezekiah that he wants from us today. God wanted to know Hezekiah even better, even deeper, to make him stronger, to increase his faith. This is what he wants from us even today. Now, if you would please turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Beginning in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. We find that very difficult to do, don't we? I know I do. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work. We have our part in this. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. This is the purpose for the trial to begin with, to bring the person, the individual, to God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This wall or separation from time to time is put in place by God, no question about it. It could be the result of a breach of God's law. or it could be the result of a test or trial, such as with Hezekiah. The fact of the wall or the separation is proof of God's presence and action in that person's life. It's also proof of God's desired response on our part. Not turning there, but in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it is written, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Romans 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So how is this wall or separation removed? We do this by following God's instructions on the matter, of course. We remember that this life we are called to is a self-correcting lifestyle. It always has been. It always will be. God expects us to use his word and his truth and his spirit as a ladder for change and growth. If you would please now turn to James chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. Breaking into the verse here, it is written, "God resists the proud." Spiritual pride will cause a separation of God, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is the first cure for separation from God. "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you." And here we find the next key. "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." There is a promise. If we meet God halfway, he will meet us in the middle. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." We are instructed by Jesus Christ that a man or a woman cannot serve two masters. This is found in Luke 16 and verse 13. Double-mindedness, serving two masters, will indeed produce a separation between the individual and God. Going down to verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up." Now, if you would please, turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Chapter 55, beginning in verse 6, we find a very familiar scripture to us. If one finds themselves distanced from God, here's good advice. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We've been reminded today that any separation from God, whatever the cause, does not have to be permanent. God loves his creation. He most certainly loves and cares for his people who are called. We find this in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. However, the outcome of this trial or separation or test is predicated entirely on our response to it. God's response is already set. God's response is immutable. We also find in Psalm 51 that God will not refuse a heart and mind in earnest repentance. That's a promise. Even Job, described as a man upright and blameless, had some growing to do. And after the wall of separation came down, he exclaimed that he could actually see the living God in his mind's eye. We began today by talking about an old Jewish man who spent a big part of his life just talking to a wall. What about him and those like him? If we consider for a moment the things he was asking for, peace, honesty, truth, uprightness in government, genuine love, and caring for one another, These things are not distant from our own pleas before God. We are instructed by Jesus Christ, our high priest, to earnestly pray for the kingdom of God. Could it be that this old gentleman has been praying for the very same thing, apparently without even being aware of it? We shall begin shortly to observe the fall holy days, which celebrate the coming kingdom of God and the return of Jesus Christ, our King. At that time, this gentleman and those like him will lift their eyes in resurrection to an astounding new world. Peace, safety, honesty in government, protected and nurtured children, love toward their fellow man, all the things they've been asking for, and more. This man will discover that after all is said and done, he was not just talking to a wall after all. And neither do we. And we can all be there to see it. Godspeed that day.